Good afternoon, Marion, Ohio, and welcome to my show called A Progressive Life. And you're listening to Glenn Coble, and we'll be on the air for the next 49 minutes, and you're welcome to call in if you have any questions or anything. The number here is 740-383-9944. Well, I've been listening to far too much television, way far too much television. So I've got all sorts of stuff on my little phone here of what I want to talk about. And it really comes down to all the stuff that I've been watching on the impeachment trial. It's not really a trial, the impeachment inquiry, and all the different things that have gone on in the last week, actually 2 weeks, that really kind of one side sees it one way and the other side it sees the other way. And I just can't understand how some people do not see the culpability in this particular administration in all the stuff that's gone on. They talked a lot about the Russian strategy, and what is the Russian strategy about? Why would Russia get involved in our politics? Well, it's pretty obvious that nobody else gains as much from messing up our politics as Russia does. And the entire United States intelligence community has announced that there was no question that Russia actually was the culprit that hacked into our 2016 election. And it's... After listening to all the evidence and reading the Mueller report, and I know that it's an awful lot of reading that you have to do, and I'm not a good reader. I'm definitely not a speed reader. I think it took 19, 20 hours for me to read through the Mueller report. But after reading through that and also listening to just about all of the testimony, or if not all of the testimony, I listened closely in the evening when all the talking heads were talking about it. And I listened to CNN. I listened to MSNBC. I even touched on listening to Fox News occasionally so that I could get both sides of the story. Now, I can't do it when my wife's around. She'll scream at me if I turn on Fox News. But I did listen to some of their analysis of what was going on. It just doesn't seem to me that there is any question. All 17 agencies that have anything to do with intelligence say that Russia was involved. And the only place that says they weren't involved is Putin, our president, and Fox News sometimes. Even Fox News is starting to show a little bit of bending now on kind of understanding that it was not Ukraine that had any. Ukraine had nothing to gain by causing our 2016 election to be hacked into. There was absolutely nothing to gain. And one of the major things that Russia gains is they gain total confusion and also disorientation of the American people, which is only good for Russia and for Mr. Putin. And that's why I am 100% convinced that Russia was the culprit. There really hasn't been any evidence that I have seen on any side of the coin that Ukraine had anything to do with it, and I can't even understand why they would want to have anything to do with it. The people that still think that Ukraine had some something to do with our election interference in 2016, are the hardcore Trump supporters. And I'm not sure they believe it. I think they do it out of political expediency, like Nunez and Graham and good old Moscow Mitch. Moscow Mitch is really in trouble as far as people approval rating down in Kentucky. But he knows he'll get lots of money from the people that are supporting Trump, and money anymore tends to speak instead of people as far as voting. That's one of the things I think that we need to get involved in and find a way to cut down the effect of money and politics. Hello, we have a caller. You're on Progressive Life. How can I help you?
Yeah, Brian, I didn't want to interrupt the show, but we want to wish you and yours a happy gobble-gobble day.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it. You too. Yeah. Right back at you.
All right. Okay. Go back to your show now.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a nice day. All right, Bob. One of our regular callers called in to wish us all a happy Thanksgiving, I'm sure. And we wish you and yours, Bob, a happy Thanksgiving. Anyway, back to where we were talking. The Russians are counting on our sharp national division that we've actually started. Well, it's very obvious that we now have a national division. Now, if we want to go back to when, and I'm putting this in quotation marks, when America was great, that was one thing we did not have. We did not have a division. And yet the people that want, that profess to want to go back to making America great again are the very people that seem to be causing that division by illegal means, by sniping at the people on the other side of the aisle. It's just kind of breaks my heart to see that happen. I was asked this question by not a caller, but a person that does listen to my show. He caught me in a store and asked me if I thought that Russia had something on different people. And the people he mentioned were Trump, Nunez, Graham, and Moscow Mitch. He thought that they had something on those people. It certainly looks that way, but what would he have? Now, you can understand Trump. Trump is kind of loosey-goosey with his morals, and maybe he doesn't want people to know some of the things that they may have video on or something. I really don't know what Nunez, Graham and Mitch would have on them, except it comes down to the old money thing. If you know that you support one way and you're going to get $600,000 or $600 million into your war chests, why not go that way, I guess. But we've gotten to a position, people, when they look back when supposedly America was great, we had a moral base. Now, I have admitted that I'm an agnostic, but I have a moral base, having been brought up by a Methodist minister and quite frankly, believing very firmly that the teachings of Jesus Christ are the best way I know to follow to be a good person, and I try to do that. But it just seems to me that we found a way to change those rules to fit the way we want them to fit. I saw a cute cartoon about how evangelists or evangelicals have found a way to make all the rules fit what they believed in anyway. I can't remember the cartoon, so I'm not going to go any further in that. Now, another problem that bothers me, and this has been, if you absolutely don't believe all of our intelligence agencies, if you think they're all wrong, you won't believe any of this stuff. But if you think they're right, then the left side of the coin is correct. All of our intelligence agencies. Now, maybe you think that's a giant conspiracy, but if you do, you're really falling into that trap of conspiracy believers that will believe in anything that stands on your side, no matter whether it's true or not. But if you believe in that those organizations would not tell us something to get us sidetracked, you will know that the 2020 elections are already being interfered with. I've listened to a lot of people, and I'm not good at putting my language to use as far as explaining why I believe those things. It just seems so obvious to me that I have a hard time trying to explain why it seems obvious. But they all say, all the intelligence agencies say, that they are already affecting our 2020 election. There are infusion, and the way they do it is, again, going back to money. Already hundreds of millions of dollars have been thrown into elections. And that also brings up another question. Do you believe that we should have more billionaires running for office? Added another billionaire, Mayor Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, who I think I heard he has over $50 billion. I guess anybody with enough money can get elected. I'm not saying that he's not a good candidate, and I'm happy for him that he can afford to run and not use anybody else's money. But we need to listen to what he's saying. The thing that scares me about that is, if you have that type of money, you can create anything, any illusion you want to, on television. You've got to really follow up and read about the gentleman to find out with what he's saying is true. Now, the one thing everybody's beating him up on is this stop and frisk, that legislation that they had in New York, where if you were profiled, if you look like somebody that was doing something wrong, they had the right to stop and frisk you and ask you questions no matter what. I never thought that was a very good idea. I don't understand why he did, and I think that he has already apologized and admitted that that was probably not the best use of legislation. I'll give everybody a couple chances. You're going to make some mistakes, constant mistakes like the current administration. I'm not sure that they're really mistakes. Sometimes I think they're just misdirection. If you keep holding a shiny thing over here in your left hand, you won't see what they're doing in the right hand. And I think that's pretty much the way this government is being run right now. With all these hundreds of millions of dollars that are going into these elections, it does seem like the only people that can win are the people that have millions of dollars to spend. When I ran for state representative last term, I didn't have much money. I'm not a good fundraiser. Obviously, I didn't win, but I'm not sure it had much to do with the money. But I understand my opponent had Let's see, my opponent had 50 to 70 times the amount of money that I had to spend. I'm not sure she did, but I was just there at the wrong time. But if you have enough money and you're in an area where you can use television and you can use that money to advertise yourself, you can convince anybody of anything. How many times did you tell your mom, no, I didn't take that quarter out of your purse? If you told her enough times, eventually you figured she'd believe it. And she probably did believe it most of the time, but sometimes after you fool me once, you know that expression. But quite often, our American public right now, we've already said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 50 times, and I'm still being shamed. And that's kind of where we've gone. We've been fooled so many times by our politicians. And I will say that both Democratic and Republican politicians tend to try to fool the public sometimes. That's why you have to think if you're going to go vote. If you're not going to think, you're just going to vote straight ticket, well, maybe you've thought that through, but in a lot of cases, you haven't thought about it. I would like to see everybody have to take a test. Not really. I do not believe in testing people to vote, because I want more people to vote. But try to think about what that person stands for that you're voting for. And I know you can't think about everybody. If you have a ballot of 30 or 40 people that you have to vote on or something, it's going to be hard to think about everyone. But you can get a general idea of where the party that they stand for stands for. If they're an independent, you can listen to what their positions are and find the one that has the closest to your beliefs system. One of the other things is people that take one thing and vote on that one thing are missing out on a lot of goodness that could be going through a politician. Let's say they disagree that you shouldn't have red lights in downtown cities. But you absolutely hate that idea, and you won't vote for anybody who believes that you shouldn't have red lights in downtown. You might miss out on a person that has the best concept on how to save the world just because you only voted on that one issue. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm going with this. There are a lot of smear campaigns that have been going on, and that was one of the things that has really bothered me about interviews that I've been watching on television. In most cases, like Fiona Hill or Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, they have both been smeared. And I can't remember the lady's name who was the ambassador to Ukraine. Her name escapes me right now, but she was smeared terribly and actually had to give up her position as an ambassador, and probably one of the most highly revered ambassadors that the United States had going for it. But these smear campaigns, they throw something out there, whether it's true or not. If it gets mentioned, somebody's going to believe it really happened. The more times you get one or two people to believe it really happened, they tell two friends, and then those two friends tell two friends, and you've seen the commercial, and so on, and so on, and so on. And that's kind of the way smear campaigns work. You don't have to tell the truth, and we are becoming Rhodes Scholars in not telling the truth right now in this particular administration. That's another problem we have. If you can't tell what's the truth and what's not the truth, you'll believe anything. And we've got to stop that. We've got to stop. If a person is telling a lie, call it a lie. And I've noticed that, as Trump will say, our fake news, and I don't believe they're fake for one minute. I used to be in the news media. There are people that will adjust the truth to make it more exciting, I guess. But most, if you're listening to a respectable news outlet, and you're listening to the news, you're not listening to people that are just giving opinions. You can generally get an idea of whether it's honest or not. If they use the people who are opinion writers, you've got to be a little bit careful because that's exactly what they are. They're opinion writers, not necessarily telling you the truth. But right now we have bounced around so much between from one lie to another. I think Trump is up to over 13,000 provable, I'm not sure they're all lies, but misinformation pieces that you don't know what you're talking about. Nobody knows what you're talking about if you can't trust anybody to tell you the truth. So we've got to find people and listen to people that care about the truth. I tried to do that when I was running for office. I made a rule that if I ran for office and a person asked me a question, I would answer it to the best of my ability, truthfully. And that just doesn't seem to hold water anymore amongst many of our Republican people that are running for at least the national offices. I'm not sure about the local offices. You'll have to judge those independently because they really aren't controlled by the national party like some of the bigger offices are. That's something else I learned when I was running for office. There are some people that they think, especially people that they think have a chance of winning, that either the Republican or the Democratic Party will really glom onto and really help that person because they think they're going to win. And then there are people that they don't think are going to win, and you're out in the wind. You're hanging on to a flagpole in a 90-mile-an-hour gale. You really don't get a lot of support if you're one of those people. Believe me, I know that is a truth. But that misdirection that we've unfortunately been following through the current administration just confuses everything. So, in fact, there is no truth in a lot of people's mind. I've talked to lots of people that have said to me, you're a politician. I usually don't tell them I'm a politician. I usually tell them I was in athletics. But if they find out I was a politician for a few years, they say, I don't believe any politician. Well, that's not good either. You've got to find the politicians that you believe in. And there are honest politicians. I swear there are. And I'm not going to mention names, but I know there are also lying politicians. And you have to judge that for yourself. I can't tell you who's lying and who's not lying. I know in my own mind who I think is lying. And quite often, my wife has she looks at their eyes and their mouth. Is it Senator Kennedy from Louisiana or is it Congressman Kennedy? I think it's Senator Kennedy from Louisiana was telling something the other day and she said, he's lying. I said, how do you know that? She said, look at his eyes, look at his mouth. He did look like he was being a little shaky. And sure enough, about 2 or 3 hours later, he changed exactly what he said recanted what he said. Also, watch the smile. There's a manufactured smile that so many of these politicians put on their face. It's kind of the same smile that Putin has on his face all the time when he's on television and he knows that people in the United States will see him. It's that smile he had on the stage in Helsinki. And it's kind of a, insincere but genuinely trying to smile. Watch for that smile. If you watch it enough and you start to learn what that smile is, you can see it in other people. It's kind of a forced smile that's locked into the face. I don't know if you watch Big Bang Theory or not. I love Big Bang Theory, but Sheldon has that smile on his face when they tell him, "Smile, Sheldon," and he'll throw that smile on his face. It's kind of stupid in his case, but it's intended to look stupid on his face. Yeah, when Putin does it, when Trump does it, when well, any politician who's telling a little bit of a fib or a giant fib, you can see that smile. It's kind of forced on there. I personally have gotten to the point where I've picked out the people that I'm interested in. I would like to see run for the office on the Democratic side. And quite frankly, I like them all, with the possible exception of Tulsi Gabbard. I'm not so certain that she isn't a Russian asset herself, just listening to some of the things that she said. I'll leave that up to you. Listen to her, and I'm sure that you'll find out that she probably is Russia's favorite candidate and Biden's the least favorite candidate for Russia. I think as far as Democrats go, the favorite candidate, I'm absolutely positive, is Mr. Trump for the Russians. Now, one of the other things that I was starting to think about when I was watching this, all the money that's involved in these people getting elected, and who has all this money? Where do these billionaires come from? When I was a kid, there was no, well, you never heard of a billionaire. Now they're everywhere. Well, one of the reasons why we have billionaires now is because of the tax reform that Mr. Trump helped instigate that sends a lot of the money right up to the very top of the earning chart and does not help you and me. And if you and I are going to be listening, if we're going to be worrying about our dollars, we need to listen to what the governors and the governing class is trying to pass on to us. The fact that we have Citizens United, which makes a corporation a person as far as voting goes, or as far as speech goes, which I think is couldn't be farther from the truth. And I would just wonder who was out to lunch when they passed that through the Supreme Court. I don't know anybody that thinks that's even remotely correct. But then, yeah, you know, my friends are all fairly left-leaning. So anyway, the people that are controlling America right now are the billionaires. They're the people with all the money. I'm not saying you can't have a lot of money and be a good person. There are good people that have a lot of money. But also, having a lot of money is a filter for your thought process. You start to concern yourself with whether the market's going up or the market's going down. You start to concern yourself on where are my tax dollars going and why you would concern yourself if you're making, and there are people that make nearly $1 billion a year, but if you're making $500 million a year or somewhere around that range, why do you even care? Somebody was saying yesterday on television that Bloomberg, his annual interest on his money is $50 million. No, $500 million. I don't know. It was just outrageous. He's making more money. Oh, I know what it was. It was a weekly thing, and I think it was like $50 million a week that he makes on interest from having the $60 billion he has. Anyway, don't add all that up, and don't go to your math instructor and ask him to figure that out, because I'm sure I messed that up. But he makes more in interest than hundreds of people that you know make in a yearly salary. We need to find a way to get a little control over the division of wealth, where we have gone now, where the average CEO makes 350 to 400 times what the average his average or her average worker makes. That might be a little out of line. And if we have people making billions of dollars a year, we could tax them a touch. I kind of like the idea of Warren's idea, where you add after you make over $50 million, you add 2 cents tax onto each. I'm not sure. 2 cents on each $100, I think it is. 2% on above. Above the money that you make if you make $50 million. Okay, if you're making $50 million a year, that's about $1 million a week. I think you can afford to pay a little bit more tax. When I was young, tax ran as high as 90%. Now it's the high end is 35% to 40%, and the rich people, the really rich people, have enough lawyers and accountants that they don't pay anything. Another thing, I think all people should be required, like the law says, to give up their tax forms. Now, right now, the White House will not explain what their tax withholding has been at all. And I just find... I have never, when I was running for office, nobody ever asked me, but I would have been more than happy, because I, like we all do, or like we're supposed to, I keep 7 years worth of my tax reports, and I would have been glad to show them to anybody. And the reason why I would have been glad to show them to anybody is I've never done anything wrong. I've never tried to cheat the government. I've never tried to cheat my fellow man. If you're afraid to show them, and that's all it is as far as this administration goes, then you've done something wrong. You are guilty just because you have been avoiding answering the question and showing I'm trying to think of the number of the form, but you're not showing your taxes. One of the things we've got to stop being is Russian assets. Now, maybe you think that Russia has the right idea, and if you do, okay, then go ahead and go along the lines that they are trying to put in place for America. I happen to be a happy American who would like it to be an honest civilization where all people can get ahead, and and we don't have people falling through the cracks that are dying because they don't have enough money to buy food or have a place to rest their head. You tell me what you think, and we'll go along from there. One of the things that they did talk about in all of these things that have been on television, all the committee reports and stuff, is that they have all taken an oath to their office. Every one of them takes an oath that has a line in it that says very, very similar to this or exactly this: I solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America. They all take that oath. And do you honestly think that they're doing that right now? I find it very difficult, especially when I'm looking at the right side of the aisle. I find that very difficult to believe that they really care much about the Constitution. They more care about whether they're going to get reelected or not. I told my wife, and I've told several people when I was running for office, if I win, I will not be worried if I'm a one-term candidate. That's not what I'm going to worry about. I'm going to worry about doing the best legislation and the best governance that I can do. And that's what I think I think all of our elected officials should concern themselves with. I'm not so opposed to having a term limit on all offices, just so that we force them not to worry about their third term. I like the idea of 2 4-year terms. That gives you 8 years of a person if they last that long. And then you get new blood in there. I think we need new blood. We have, half a dozen. Oh, we have more than a half a dozen, but we have several people, especially on the Democratic side right now, and including the president, and even the two or three people that are saying they're running against the president on the Republican side. They're high 60s into their 70s, and some of them will be 80 before their term would be up. I'm old. I'm 73. I have nothing against people that are in their 70s. I think that you get a lot of good out of people in their 70s because they've been there. They've done a lot. They've thought through a lot. But I really believe that the America I want to be proud of is the country that has young people and old people and black people and white people and beige people and has a diversity wealth of diversity in our government so that we can help all people, not just the rich, not just the whites, not just the men. And that seems to be where we were for a long time. We are, unfortunately, I believe that America is no longer, because of all the lying that our particular administration has been doing, America is moving towards no longer being the beacon of truth and thought that we were during the Second World War. We were considered a beacon of honesty and a beacon of care and thought. No longer can people trust what we say. We take you on as an ally today, and tomorrow we let you get your butt shot off. The Kurds would have a lot to say about whether we're a beacon of truth or not. And I think we need to gather that back. We need to gather back the feeling that if an American tells you one thing, by gosh, you're going to stick to that. Unless you're proven that it's wrong. There is never anything wrong with changing your mind, but you got to explain why you're changing your mind, and you've got to do it there are certain hallowed oaths that you take. If you say you're going to support an ally and they're on the front lines of a battle with somebody, you better support that. If you decide you can't support it any longer, then you get yourself out of it, but you do it in a correct way, in a way that will help the person that you are trying to help and not hurt anyone. Unfortunately, we're getting down to the last few minutes, unfortunately, there are evil people. There are definitely evil people in this world who will do anything for power or money or even, yes, sex. The only way to fight this is we have to be strong and fight to forcibly bring about fairness and honesty. Those are two things that I think we all need, fairness and honesty. I'll throw a third in there, empathy. We need to have empathy for our fellow man and woman. Just because a person is down on their luck and they they don't have a home to live in tonight doesn't mean they did something wrong. It just means they're down on their luck, nothing more. You need to have some empathy for those people. And you might be in a situation where you've done very well by yourself. Be thankful that you've done well for yourself. But don't look at other people and say, well, I could do it, so they should be able to do it. Everybody has a different situation, and you have no idea what their situation is. So support them with some empathy and fairness and be honest. One of the things that just drives me crazy, coming from a Methodist minister's family, and I try to be as Christian as I can, even though I am agnostic. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I like to call myself an atheistic Christian. anyway, the current White House has brought in as the spiritual advisor to the White House a lady. Her name is Paula White, and she believes in what is called the prosperity doctrine. A lot of evangelicals, a lot of mainline Christians, a lot of even people like me who are agnostic would say that's just hypocritical, and it's she's being a heretic. Nothing wrong with only having a high school education, but that's what she has. And now she's trying to lead a president who has no morals in a line of education on spiritual thought that really is based on, if I make a lot of money, that's because God likes me. And he does. If you're not making a lot of money, he doesn't like you. So give me money and then he will like you. Well, that's just nuts. there have been several ministers flying around the world in their $80 million jets who believe in this prosperity doctrine. I find it, and I'm sorry if you believe in it, this is one of those beliefs that I find absolutely ignorant. Anyway, it's we also have gotten to a situation where it's my team or your team and never the twain shall meet. It's my team against your team. But that's not the way countries work. That's not the way we worked during World War II. It's not the way we dug ourselves out of a national or worldwide depression back in the 30s. The way we did that is it's our team. We work together. Now, there are always going to be different thoughts on situations, but we worked together. We talked about it. We disagreed together. We allowed each other to disagree with us. And then when we found out the things that we all agreed on, we moved strongly towards those things, which would help the other things. It can never be wrong to listen to other people and their thoughts and beliefs. There are some thoughts and beliefs that 99% of the people would think are crazy. You let those fly, but you try to find the thoughts and the beliefs that will bring us all together rather than push us apart. Because there is nothing that separation, nothing that lying about each other, nothing that fighting one against the other, nothing along that line will ever bring us together and make us great. I don't say make us great again, because I think we still are great, but there's nothing that type of anguish and hate and lying will help us become maintain our greatness. I just heard this before I went on the air. As you've done to the least of these, you have done to me. That was a something that Jesus said to his disciples. And it's kind of the way of life. There was another thing. Bon Jovi had a quote that I caught, and I can't find it. But anyway, it's easier to try to love than to hate. If you hate, there's always gnashing of teeth. Your muscles get taut. Your brain is overexcited. You absolutely do not achieve what you could achieve if you can find a way to love as opposed to hate. Now, I'm not a big fan of love, you know, just for love's sake. I think people need to deserve your love, but that's fairly easy to do just if you can find the way to be honest, empathetic, and caring of your fellow man. We are all, in my belief, we are all animals, and we will all do bad things. But there are ways that we can correct for those bad things, and we can be kind to each other and apologize. We can find ways to not attack, where we sit down and we try to listen to our fellow man's ideas. And that's how I think we're going to get ahead. I don't think we're going to get ahead by being mean to each other. Hey, I was supposed to let you know about a couple of things, and we're about 2 minutes from being off the air. Jeff Ruth will be on with Scott and Charlie starting on Friday morning at 8:10 a.m. and running to 1 p.m. To kick off the holiday season. It's hard to believe, isn't it? How many of you guys are going to be out at 5 o'clock in the morning doing some shopping on Friday morning? Well, probably not yours truly. Also on Friday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m., we'll be joined in studio by the Lisecki family, and they will be performing holiday tunes to start the season off right. So WWGH radio station 107.1, your place for the holiday season. Hey, by the way, also, you can write a letter to Santa Claus at Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. If you get it there early enough, you will get a response. It's got to be there fairly early, but send them off something. See if Santa will respond to you. And if you write to us at WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302, and you send us a Santa Claus list, we'll make sure it gets to him. And we'll also send you, if you get it here early enough, we will send you a Christmas card. So get in touch with us at WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Well, it's time to get out of here.
For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah,